for the time when I leave this old world and I'll fly away. I've heard some folks tell me that that strong "I'll fly away" is not scriptural. They said, "You're not going to fly. You're going to be caught up. You call it what you want to. We're going through the air. If you don't call going through the air flying, don't call it flying. We're going away one way or another." Amen. And one of these days we're leaving this old world and we'll say goodbye to sin and the world and the flesh and the devil and hello to everything heaven affords for the child of God. I'm glad to be in the number. I'm thankful that I'm saved. I'm glad I'm His and He's mine. I'm thankful for that. I like the second verse of that song that Gracie sang, or that first verse of the song Gracie sang. Sometimes I try to tell what Jesus means to me, but I find myself searching for words to say just what I mean. I never can quite describe how good He's been to me, but I know whatever I need, that's what He is. Amen. I'm glad I'm His and He's mine forever. Amen. I bless the Lord this morning for all that He's done. So if you found Psalms 84 and you're willing and able, stand with us and we'll reverence the reading of the Word of the Lord. Psalm chapter 84. I want to read the entire psalm this morning through verse number 12 and try to share with you what the Lord's laid on our hearts. Verse number 1 of Psalms 84, the Word of the Lord says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." Do you ever get to the place where you just cry out for God? Maybe not just crying out for the help of God, for the grace of God, for the love of God, but just crying out for God. You just need His presence. You need Him. You need Him to be, my friend, available in your life. You need His involvement in your life. You just want God. It's not all His attributes and all of His blessings you're looking for. It's just God you're looking for and you're hungering for. He said, "My heart cries out for God." Oh, my friend, what a blessing. Verse number 3, "Yea, the sparrow hath found an house." We're going to talk more about that later, and I can't preach on that verse as much as I'd like. I did back several years ago, but that sparrow's found a house, a refuge, a resting place, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even in thine altars. Isn't it a blessing that we have a place where we can bring our young ones, our children too, and put them on the altar? Amen. Oh, Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are they that dwell in thine house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in the Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointing. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. You can be seated this morning. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. The passages of Scripture to preach from in this passage of the Word of the Lord. The phrases that you can lift just from this psalm, just one phrase here and there. And my friend, preach sermons on each one of them. I like that last verse there, that last couple of verses there. A day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper at the house of God. That's a servant. That's a hired hand. I'd rather be the lowest. I'd rather be a hired hand at the house of God than to dwell. That is, my friend, to make your abode. That is, to be in charge, to be the highest one in the house of the tents of the wicked. Oh, the Lord's your sun and shield, give you grace and glory. How about this phrase? No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. You talk about a chapter. chapter of the Word of God that's full of promises and blessings and benefits. Psalms 84 is rich with them, friend. And so this morning I'm trying to preach from this passage of Scripture. We've been preaching here recently for several weeks now about this blessed man and about being blessed and about blessed is the man. Well, in this passage of Scripture, we've got three specific verses that deal with this. And we've got three different occasions upon which our Lord tells us that how blessed is the man. Verse 12, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. What a blessing that is. Put your faith and your trust in the Lord and you're a blessed man. Then in verse number 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Our strength and our help and our power is in the Lord, and I'm glad of that. And I'm blessed because I have a strength that's not my own. That's why I can testify with the Apostle Paul that when I am weak, it is then that I am made strong. And then in verse number 4, this is where we'll preach this morning, if God help us. Blessed are they that dwell in thine house. I'm going to tell you, friend, verse number 12, trusting in the Lord, verse number 5, the strength of the Lord for me, and I believe for all those who live in verse number 4, our strength, our faith, and my friend has been developed and bolstered and cultivated because of our time at the house of the Lord. Amen. And we are blessed to be at the house of God this morning. We are blessed to be in this place at this time with these people. Some would criticize and some would say, well, I don't like this one and I don't like that one. You ever give any thought to the fact that they might not like you either? Amen. That's exactly right. Oh, friend, hey, and this one's not that easy to get along with. You ain't always easy to get along with either. But I tell you, we are blessed to be here this morning in this place at this time with these people, and I'm glad to be here together. Amen. And whether or not you like me or not, I'm still glad to be here with you. Amen. And whether or not that you love me or not, I'm still glad you're here. And I still love you this morning. And I'm still thankful to be at the house of God with you. I'm glad we can praise the Lord together. I'm thankful I can praise Him by myself, Brother Todd. But there's something special to me about praising God with you when we come together to praise the Lord. Oh, that's exactly right. And blessed are they that dwell in thy house. I tell you, we're blessed to have a church this morning, a place where we can worship God, a place where God moves among us, a place we've set aside as holy and separate, a place we've dedicated unto the glory of God, and a place, my friend, we can fellowship, where we can fellowship with the saints of God, where our children can hear the Word, where we have an altar to pray together, where the Sunday school classes take place, and we're taught the Word of God. Well, my friend, I'm thankful for that. Over the years, I've heard preachers criticize a Sunday school. I've heard them criticize the singing. But I don't know about you. I got a great blessing this morning out of the Sunday school and the singing. Amen. I got to hear a little bit of Brother John's teaching. I got to hear a little bit out of every class. I mean, I got more Sunday school lessons going on in my mind than what I know how to sort through. And the songs have blessed me. And I'm thankful. It makes it easier for me to preach, Brother Scott. I appreciate the fellowship. I appreciate that when Brother John said, y'all shake hands and hug necks and sing to one another. It looked like it did when I was a boy. Had to run across an ant mound out there in the pasture and step down in the middle of that fire ant mound. Had every man or ant going every which direction. People was just going every way, friend. Shaking hands and agreeing to one another and loving one another. You don't get that anywhere but a place like this. I'm so glad for the house of God. I'm glad God made me a member of the church of heaven, the church of God, the church of Christ. But I'm glad He made me a member blessed are they that dwell in thine house. If you're at the house of God and you wouldn't be hearing me preach this morning. Then you are a blessed man. Amen. Somebody said, no, I won't be there in body. I'll just be there in spirit. Them spirits ain't hearing what I'm preaching this morning. Amen. If your spirit's going to get fed, your body's going to have to be here to channel it through. Amen. That's exactly right, friend. Ain't that a blessing? That's good preaching, preacher. That's exactly right. Blessed are they that dwell in thine house. We are blessed to be here this morning. Somebody said, aren't you glad that I came? I did so good and all. I mean, I came to church. Why don't we all just line you up this morning up front? And we all come up front and shake your hand. Maybe kiss your ring for the privilege of getting to be in your presence since it is so good of you to come to church. I tell you what we ought to do. Every one of us ought to realize, were it not for the grace of God, we'd already be in hell with our necks broke. And hey, friend, were it not for the Lord's change and power in our lives, we'd be stealing cows and cars before morning and find ourselves a place in this altar and say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, God, for putting me in this place. And I'm not worthy to be here, but I'm so blessed that I am here. Amen. That's exactly right. Now we've been looking at this blessed man for the past several weeks. We saw the man that is blessed in Psalms 127. How his family was blessed and his finances was blessed. And his work for God is blessed. His fellowship was blessed. We looked at that blessed man in Psalm chapter 1. What he does, what he don't do, what he can do, what he can't do. And how God honors him. We saw the blessings of the Beatitudes. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, and all the others there with it. We preached on being blessed but stressed in Acts chapter 14. We talked about blessed is he whose sin is forgiven. Amen. And that's Psalm 32. How we preached a few weeks ago at Thanksgiving on gratitude and gracious blessings from Psalm 100. We preached on the blessed man that trusted in the Lord in Psalm 34. And last week we preached on blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord from Psalm 33. And today I want us to notice the blessings of being in the house of God. To be blessed, remember, is to have happiness. Not surface level pleasure, but deep seated satisfaction that is beyond the expression of words. It must be felt in order to be known. The old timers would say it this way: it is better felt than felt. Amen. It is better felt than what we can tell. All these blessed passages in the Bible are here, my friend, to give us the secrets to living a satisfied and fulfilled life, a purpose-driven life, if you will. Amen. I tell you, the Word of God, hey, somebody said, have you got that book on the purpose-driven life? I've got this one right here on the purpose-driven life, and I've been reading it about 20-some years now. Oh, and it's been giving me a purpose and a blessing and some help. Somebody say amen right there. I thank God for the Word of the Lord. And it's here to tell us how to be blessed. Everybody I see, friend, along this way wants to get blessed. But ain't nobody wants to do what you're supposed to do according to the Bible to get blessed. But according to this Bible, you're blessed if you're down at the house of God. I'm going to tell you, if you're here lost this morning, you're blessed. You got to hear the gospel one more time. You're in a place where you can find God. You're among people that love you, want you to be saved. Amen, that's right. If you're saved this morning, you're blessed. A place of fellowship is where we are. A place of friendship is where we are. I mean, friend, we are blessed to be here. It doesn't matter if you're discouraged. Here you can be encouraged. And my friend, if you have fear in your life, here you can find forgiveness. If you need somebody to love you, I don't know how many there is in attendance, 64 this morning, what the board says. If you're here this morning and you need someone to love you, there's 63 people to do it. Somebody said, who is it that needs? Who is it that's missing out of that number? You are. If you're here and need loving, there's 63 people to do it. And my friend, hey, don't count yourself in that number. Amen. some of you and says, already wondering who it was that won't love you. Amen. I thank God. We've got to get back to math class. Amen. Well, if you need somebody to love you, you've got a friend here. You've got people that care about you. We're blessed to be in the house of God this morning. We're blessed to be among the brethren. This is the best place I've been all week long. And I'll not find another place. And my friend, that'll be better than where I'm standing right now. And my friend, this coming week, I'm thankful to be in the house of God. Amen. That's exactly right. Hey, when I consider the life I lead, I'm my friend, and not just the problems and the challenges that I face, I'm my friend, but the pleasures of life that I experience, the blessed existence that I have, I'm my friend, of the honored and privileged life that I lead, I'm my friend. Hey, that's a friend. I have children that pray with me, a family that loves me, a wife that prays for me, a church where I can gather my friend amongst people that love me and care, a place where I can share my burdens, a Savior who forgave me of all of my sin and made all of these things possible. A friend, when I consider the life that I lead and not just the problems and the challenges that I face, I find myself saying, as Robert Chapman once said, I have an overabundance of blessings for which I cannot find enough time or words to express my gratitude. And I say amen to that. Oh, this blessed man, he dwells in the house of God. You know who some of the most bitter people you'll ever run into in the world are? People who used to go to church. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Some of the most miserable people you will ever meet in life will be people who used to go to church. Amen. And the people who used to be involved, they used to sing in the choir. They'll tell you all about how they used to do this and they used to do that, but they don't anymore. And they're miserable. You know why? Because they know what they didn't used to know. Amen. And they're trying to live without. And my friend, what they know they could have. And hey, you don't have to live without what you know you could have. And no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. That's what our text said in verse 11. You can have joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And my friend, against such there is no law. You can live your life in the Spirit of God. You can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You can have victory. You can soar with the eagles. Amen. And for some of you that is here last Sunday night, and those of you that wasn't free, just keep scratching and pecking around out there in the barnyard with the turkeys and the chickens if you want to, but you don't have to. You can fly, my friend, with Jesus and enjoy the victory that there is in living a Spirit-filled Christian life. And you can be a blessed man. That's right. This blessed man's dwelling in the house of God in Psalms chapter 84. Notice this blessed man, when he's dwelling in the house of God, has some situations in which he needs strength. If you're so blessed, why you got problems? Because everybody's got problems. If you live in this world, you're going to have problems. Anybody in here ain't got no problems at all? A friend of no kind, raise your hand. I want to come shake your hand so that I can tell somebody I met somebody who ain't never had no problems at all. I didn't think I'd get any volunteers on that. Man, they ain't even know that none of these young'uns in a place where they don't have no problems. I mean, Julia's got everything in the world provided for her, but she got problems. Last night it come around, she hadn't felt good in so far, then it come around towards the end of the day. And as the day got on a little bit, she was hollering and whining and carrying on. You'd think, what in the world could a 23-month-old baby have? There's a problem if she wasn't sick. By this point, she's tired. You think, well, just go to sleep. Problem is, she don't even know how to do that without somebody that makes her do it and shows her to do it. Isn't that amazing how the little things like that's a problem? But she had a bigger problem, Brother John. She wanted
drank something and she couldn't tell us what it was. Amen. She can't talk. And she finally got in the kitchen in there and stood there and did an Indian dance for the longest time. But that's God. She wasn't screaming or hollering or crying. That's just trying to tell me what she wanted. This way. At a point, I mean, for I've done about 10 minutes or longer. I'm going, I'm telling you, absolutely, you wouldn't have seen nothing like it in Cherokee, North Carolina. And then my friends, she was doing a wild Indian dance. And jumping up and down, and finally, she got it out, and she says, moo, moo, milk. Hey, friend, that chocolate syrup bottle's got a cow on the front of it. She wanted the chocolate milk, amen. She had a problem, friend. I'm going to tell you, everybody's got problems. Everybody's got situations. You'll find situations and circumstances in life for which you will need strength. I have a verse number 5 said, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee and whose heart are the ways of them. There are some situations and circumstances in which you will need the strength of the Lord. Verse number 6 said, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. The psalmist speaks of the valley of Baca. Baca means a place of weeping or the place of crying. I wonder, have you ever been to the valley of weeping this morning? Have you ever been there where your heart was heavy, where you needed strength, where you needed help? My friend, in that place of depression, do you realize that every valley is a depression between two mountains? And I'm going to stop right there just a second and let that sink in. Amen. Every valley is a place of depression between two mountains. Oh, yes. Some of you still hadn't got the significance of that. And I'm going to say it one more time. Every valley is a place of depression between two mountains. As somebody said, you don't understand the valley that I'm in. It's deep and it's dark. The deeper the valley that you're in, and the darker the valley that you're in, means the higher mountaintop is on either side. Amen. Hey, friend, you may be in the valley, but the only way you'll stay in the valley is if you stop in the valley. Amen. I mean, friend, everybody that gets in a valley, I will get out of the valley so long as they don't quit in the valley. Amen. All you got to do is just keep moving. You haven't got to move the mountain. Just keep moving your feet. So long as you keep taking a step, so long as you keep moving your feet, you're going to get out of the valley, because you can't even have a valley without a mountain on both sides. If you'll keep moving, friend, there'll be another mountain. Somebody said, I like mountaintops. You'll never make it to it if you stop in the valley. You just got to keep putting one foot in front of the other. Why are you weeping? Somebody said, you don't understand my tears. You're right. I don't. He does. What I do understand is, if you'll keep moving your feet, and my friend, you'll get out of the valley. Amen. Oh, yes. It's a place of depression, but it's between two mountains. That's right. Oh, my. Did you know you can have a mountain without having a valley on either side of it? You can have a mountain stand alone and plains and flat ground all around it. But you can't have a valley without a mountain on both sides. Amen. Somebody said the valley sure do seem like there's a lot of valleys in life. I'm going to tell you, there's been a lot more mountains in my life than what there's been valleys. Yeah, some of the valleys has been real deep. But there's been a lot more mountains than there have been valleys. There have been a lot of places, friend, where I've enjoyed God's grace and His goodness, and I'm thankful for that. All you got to do to get out of a valley is don't stop. Don't quit. Don't quit moving. Don't try to move the mountain. Just move your feet. Oh, friend, if you keep going, you'll be on the mountain again. All you need is strength to continue, and it is found at the house of our God. And notice what He said in verse 6, who passing through the valley of someday come making a will. Not who going into the valley to die, but passing through the valley of Baca. They make it a well. You don't find much water. You don't find many places to dig a well on the top of a mountain. But there's plenty of water for your thirsty soul. And down in the valley, it's in the valley he restored my soul. Oh, that's exactly right. I bless his name for that. I notice this phrase, the rain also filleth the pools. On the mountainside, the rain runs down. On the mountainside, the rain washes off. But in the valley, the rain pours in. The rivers flow. Oh, thank God. You know what he said here? He said he goes to the valley of Baca, that's weeping, and he turns it into a pool. That pool speaks of blessing. God will turn your weeping into blessing. He'll turn your sorrow into joy. Our weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. And to get out of your valley, just keep your feet moving. Just pray for strength for one more step. You know what a lot of church is, Brother Will? A lot of what we do in church is help folks get the strength to make one more step. I mean, friend, hey, I quit preaching a long time ago to try to get people to make a U-turn. I'm not trying to get you to make a U-turn this morning. I'll never succeed at that. You have a head-on collision with Jesus, and you'll have a U-turn. But from there all the way to heaven is one step at a time. And when I'm preaching to save people, all I'm trying to do this morning, Brother Tom, is give you enough strength to make one more step out the house of God, friend. And we get strength for our valleys. And strength to make another step. And strength to climb the mountain. And I'll need it again and again.
You better get all you can and can all you get, because you will need it later on. Amen. That's right. And some of you right now in some valley or depression or some dip of life. And some of you is on a mountain of some kind. But next week those roles may well be reversed. Amen. That's exactly right. And you will need this later on, so tuck it away and hide it in your heart. Amen. That's exactly right. And by the way, while you're on the valley, or while you're on the mountain and you're looking down to the valley below, remember those people that are in the valley and try to lend them a helping hand. Reach out and try to help pull them up the mountainside. Sometimes, friend, all it takes is moving one step at a time, but sometimes we're climbing up the rough side of the mountain. Amen. It's not always a smooth side. Sometimes it's a steep hill. But God will give you strength. Oh, my friend. Hey. And if I'm going to make the next step, I'll need strength again tomorrow and the next day. That's why we pray, give us this day our daily bread. It's a day by day, step by step lesson. Living for God is not a one-time experience of grace. It is an everyday experience where by friend, the Holy God of heaven, after that he hath birthed you in the family of God, comes to live inside of us, and day by day and moment by moment his blessed presence guides us and guards us and helps us and gives us strength to carry on. I made it this far, Paul said, by the grace of God. I tell you, it's the only way. A friend, I need him every hour. I've got to have him. My soul is crying out for it. I've got to have the Lord. Oh, and I'm so glad when I had to have him. The time it is in the house of God where I found him faithful to visit with me. And he promised where two or three are gathered together in his name, and there he will be in the midst of us. While we've got 64, if you're here, he's promised us he'll be here and he will help us. What about that? Hallelujah. Ain't it a blessing to be saved?
My Lord. I ain't done preaching. I just got to get a breath. Amen. Friday night, a man that was in his 80s told me, he said, "You know, you've got old since I first met you." I thought, "Man, you're 50 years older than I am. What are you talking about?" Hey, that's exactly right. Sometimes a fella got to breathe a little bit. Amen. Some of you, when you first come to church here, you said you left out of here and you said, "I thought that preacher was never going to breathe." Well, you've been around here a while and I'm breathing this morning. Amen. All right, now we've got another breath and we'll go again at it. Hallelujah. Ain't it good to be saved this morning? That's exactly right. Somebody said, "I wouldn't talk the way you're doing, that way you do." You say something crazy. Say, "You know what I do, Brother Scott? I preach whatever God gives me. And I'm more comfortable right now what I'm doing, where I am in this place and this time, than what I am sitting in my living room, my shoes off, and my toes stuck up in the recliner, and taking a nap. I'm more comfortable right now than any other time in my life." Somebody said, "You ever get nervous when you preach every single time? You ever get scared pretty much every time?" I lose that just about the time I turn that corner. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah for this place. I'm glad to be God's man. And I'm glad to be saved. He'll give us the strength, friend. I'm not telling you you won't face another valley. I'm telling you, you will face another valley. The next one may be worse than the last one you saw. The next one may have a giant in it. Amen. The next one may have a battalion of soldiers in it. The next one, my friend, may be the valley of the shadow of death. But I'm telling you, God will give you the strength to keep your feet moving. And you'll come out of that valley.
Amen.
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 Valleys are inevitable. There have been times of sorrow and weeping for all of us. And there'll be times ahead for that. Job said, "Man that is born of a woman is but a few days and full of trouble." One little boy said, "That man that was born, and in just a few days he got trouble with women." And that's about right too. But either way, there are strength. And there is strength at the house of God for you. There's help for you. Your valleys are inevitable. But thank God the church is a place to get strength to keep your feet moving.
Valleys
are inexplicable. Sometimes you can't explain why you're in this valley. So usually what we do, Brother Tom, we get in a valley, we try to figure out who's responsible for it and who to blame it on. And that ain't nothing but the work of the devil.
Amen.
Why, if it hadn't have been for this one or that one, I wouldn't be in the problems I'm in. Somebody could have fixed it if they would have. You ever thought that if you're going to get on that one mountaintop you just left to the next mountaintop you're headed to, you got to go through that valley to get there? And it ain't nobody's fault, and there's no way we can explain it. And sometimes there's no way you can absolutely tell what's even going on while you're in the valley. See, the thing is, while you're down in the valley, you don't see what God's doing up on the mountaintops on both sides of you. You don't understand all of what's happening around you. They're inexplicable. You don't understand a lot of things. When you're down in the valley, when you're in the valley, you can't see the mountaintops. But when you're on the mountaintops, you can see the valley. If you'll just keep putting one foot in front of the other, when you get back on the next mountaintop, you can look down in the valley you just came from. And from a bird's eye view, you can see the purpose God had for you in the valley. But while you're in the middle of your valley, you cannot explain it. You know what you got to do while you're in the valley? Say, "Lord, I don't understand, but I do believe you. I will hold your hand, and He's going to lead me up out of this valley while I hold His hand. And when I get to the mountaintop, Lord, if I never can see the purpose in that valley, so long as you're by my side, I believe that you know what's best for me." We're trying to blame somebody else or figure all of it out and just learn to lean on Jesus. Blessed is the man. Verse number 12, the chapter closes. Blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Valleys are inexplicable. It's what makes them so difficult. We can't explain them. We don't understand them. If we understood why we go through the dark valley, we think it'd be easier to take. But then again, we wouldn't learn what we learned while we're in the valley. Amen. I don't understand why people get cancer, have heart attacks, have friends turn on them, suffer the loss of their children, battle a son or a daughter gone astray, head off into sin and wickedness. I do know that it is in such times that we desperately need the strength of God. And when you find yourself at the end of your resources, when you need strength to keep going, how you can say as the psalmist, how amiable are thy tabernacles. I'll tell you what, my soul has needed strength the most. When my soul has needed help for my valleys the most, I'll tell you, I can just chop this hill over here on Highway 78 and see the top of the steeple of this church, and my friend, it just brings about joy. It does something in my soul. Somebody said, you're talking about on Sundays. I meet on Thursday afternoon. I just top the hill, just see the steeple, and somehow it helps me. There is strength here for your valley.
Amen.
The strength, a situation in which we need strength. Then there's the strength through which we are supported. Not only do we need strength for our situation, there's a specific strength we need and that we have. Now I'm going to finish up as quick as I can, but I need to finish. So you just hang around with me. And if you're upset or in a hurry, you leave and I won't get mad at you. How about that? Now if you're leaving to cook something for tonight, just bring peanut butter and jelly sandwiches instead and stay for the preaching. Somebody say amen to that. I'd rather preach to you than what I had to eat your grub. Amen. That's exactly right. Thank God. I'd what I'd really like to do both. Amen. Praise the Lord. The strength, my friend, that we need. The strength through which we're supported. There are situations, but there's strength for our situation. My friend, not only do we need strength, but there's specific strength. We need a divine strength. Verse 5 said, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Our strength is in him. Somebody said, I'm just not strong is what I ought to be. In weakness, that's when you're made strong. If you trust in the Lord. Our friend, it's not personal strength. That's not inner strength. That's a not physical strength. That's not even emotional strength. That is divine strength. That is spiritual strength. That's God's strength. That's Holy Ghost strength. That's biblical strength. Somebody said, but my problem is physical. Your answer is spiritual. My problem is financial. Your answer is biblical. My problem is my family. Your answer is in God. I tell you, friend, he'll meet your need. What you need more than you need stuff is you need a Savior. What you need more than you need a job is you need a Savior. What you need more than you need your situation solved is you need a Savior, friend. He is what we need, when we need it, how we need it. He's all in all. And what we really need is Him. The divine strength. Amen. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It's Him that we need. It's Him. I need $1 million. I need somebody to pay off my debts. I need this thing or that. What you really need is Him. And when you get Him and everything comes with Him. And since the heavens are strong and the earth is His footstool, if you got Him, you don't need nothing else. Amen. That's exactly right. Why, He's so rich. He don't even count His cows by the head, but by the heels that they graze on. You just need Him, friend. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that which we could ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And to Him be glory in the church. That's Ephesians 3:20-21. Tell you what we need Him in our lives. Amen. That's divine power. Notice the testimony that's expressed in this Him being our strength. He knew what he's talking about, Paul did, when he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. He knew what he was talking about. He had experienced it. I wonder, do you know firsthand what it's like for Christ to strengthen you? Do you know firsthand what it's like to be so broken down? To be so busted in your personal life. To be so warped in the valley of weeping. That you cannot stand to put one foot in front of the other. But to find yourself driven all the way to your knees. Low on your belly. And there cry out, "Oh God, where your soul was crying out to God." And somehow or another he came along. And he reached way down. And he, my friend, lifted you up. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. He lifted me way up high and set my feet upon the mountaintop. To think that in me, as the Lord and King of everything, loves me with a love that won't stop. I mean, I know firsthand what it is for Him to strengthen me when I thought I could not go another step. Divine strength. I can testify to it. Divine strength. There's a truth expounded in it. It's the power, somebody said, of living positive. Oh no. You can live positive and everything happen to you negative. Somebody said you can think it and it'll make it so. I know I saw a fellow one day scratch around on the ground up in Rome that thought he was a rooster, but he didn't have no feathers. Amen. I mean, he thought it, but it didn't make it so. Amen. You can think you're saved, but if you're not saved, it won't make it so. Amen. That's right. Just cause you think it, just cause you will it, it'll make it so. It's not about living positive. Write this down. It's about a living person. Amen. It's not about living positive. It's about a living person. It's about God living in you. It's about Christ dwelling in your life. It's about you and God and God in you. Oh, friend, you need divine help. He lives in me. He lives in me. Oh, the God of glory lives in me. And the Lord will give strength unto His people. That's what He said in Psalm 29:11. Psalm 28:7. The Lord is my strength and shield. My heart trusted in Him and I'm helped. Therefore, my heart glad, I greatly rejoice in. And with my song, I will praise Him. We need divine strength. We need daily strength. God gave Moses a promise in Deuteronomy 33:25. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Amen. God's strength is available to us daily. God's strength is equal to your day. Did you know your day is no match for your God? Amen. The strength that He gives is ample for every emergency. You can make it. And with the strength of God, you're going to make it out of your valley. Just keep taking one step at a time and just keep moving. And it's impossible for you to stay there. Finally, I'm closing with this, and this is really the point of the whole message. Not only does there situations where we need strength and strength through which we are supported, but there's a sanctuary at which we're settled. This is the place where it all comes from. This is the fountainhead of the blessings of God, found right here at the house of God. This is what brings it all together. This is the filling station where our strength is renewed. Bring them in to the filling station. Let them get a taste of that good old-fashioned true salvation. Bring them to the spout where the glory runs out. It'll make them cry and it'll make them shout. Everything's free. It'll never run out to the filling station. Amen. Hey, thank God. Woo, ain't that good? Oh, I bless the Lord. The sanctuary where we're settled. Oh, friend, in verses 1 through 4, the psalmist speaks of God's tabernacles, the courts of the Lord and the house of God. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord. This is a place for which the psalmist longed. The house of God was his delight. That word amiable means loved or beloved. And the depths of love that are seen are shown in verse 2. My soul longeth. I wonder, does your soul long? Does your soul, does your inner man yearn? I mean, did you wake up this morning saying, I'm so glad I'm going to church. I'm so glad that I get to go. Thank God for another Sunday to be at the house of God. Oh, my friend. I love this place. Thank God. The value we place in the house of God is demonstrated by our attendance. I love this place. And I have a desire to be here.
Able-bodied people who don't come to church have a hard time convincing me that they like it. Amen? People that are able to go to the football game and they like going to the football game, you know what they do? They go to the football game. Isn't that right? People that are able to go to the mountains and they like to go to the mountains, you know what they do? They go to the mountains. People that are able to go to Grandma's house and they like going to Grandma's house, they go to Grandma's house. Amen. You know why people are able to come to church and they don't come to church? Because they don't like coming to church. Amen. If you was able to come to church and you like coming to church, you'd come to church. Amen. I mean, if you really love the house of God and you're able to come to the house of God, then you want to be in the house of God. I can agree with what Billy Mitchell said. The reason why folks don't come to church most times is just they don't want to. We try to figure out why they won't come. Maybe we need this or that to happen. That's not it. They don't want to. That's why they don't come. Amen. Able-bodied people, my friend, they can come to church and want to come to church. They do come to church. Amen. That's exactly right. And I'm glad you're here. Somebody said, I didn't want to be here. And the longer you preach, the less I want to be here. Well, I'm still glad you're here. Amen. That's exactly right. I'm glad you're here. And I hope while you're here, you get a love for this place. And if you come to love it the way I love it, you'll want to be back here. Amen. That's exactly right, friend. It's a longing in my heart. And then notice the place which he longed for, but the praise with which he lived. Verse number 4, he said, blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will be still praising thee. Psalm 73 in verses 1 and 2, Asaph said, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He said, truly God's good to Israel, even though such a clean heart. But that's not the way it's working out for me. He talked about how all the wicked were blessed, how it tripped him up, how he was just about to fall. But in verse number 17, his life changed. He said, then I went unto the sanctuary of our God. His perspective changed. He said, I saw therein. I saw how that the judgment would come on them swiftly. How the Lord would cast them down into destruction as in a moment. How they're utterly consumed with terrors. But at the end of that chapter in Psalm 73, he said, it is good for me to draw nigh unto our God. It's good for me to praise him. I tell you, friend, hey, going to church puts you in a different perspective. It won't make you a Christian. But my friend, you cannot be a peaceful and praising Christian and not be faithful to the church. In the preaching of the Word of God, in the church of God, we find strength in God. How many times we have been burdened and hurting but came to God's house to find what you needed. Oh, my friend, maybe it was in a song, a Sunday school lesson, a saint of God and the kind words, or maybe a session of prayer. But at the sanctuary, there was something that helped you see things in the right perspective. It helped you see life in a different light. And it birthed praise in your life to God. And down in your heart, you had a different attitude. A preacher that I know that now has gone aloof, AWOL, absent without the Lord, years ago made a statement that I agree with and I wish he would have lived by. He said, a church is a place where people should come to dream and never fall asleep. I'll say amen to that. When you leave from here, you should have a different attitude and a different approach to your whole life than what you were when you had when you came. And you can if you'll approach the Lord and let him help you and give you the strength that's available. Amen. Blessed are they. Blessed are they that dwell in thine house. I'm finished preaching. I want to say this morning, we need God's house. It's a place where we find strength to cope with the situations that we're facing. I've known of those who were going through a hard time and their troubles. They let them keep them out of church. I've actually had people say to me, Brother John, I just couldn't come to church today. I was so upset that I just couldn't come. If there's any time when you need to be in church, it's when things are the hardest and the darkest. Blessed is the man. Blessed are they that dwell in thine house. This very day you may need help from the Lord. You may be lost this morning and need forgiveness. I can't think of a better place to find it than right here. You may be in a deep valley and need strength. This is the place where you can get what you need to keep moving. You may be burdened with some circumstance or situation, some weight that's heavy on your life. There's no better place to find relief than here, and no better time than now. This is the time to seek the Lord. And these altars are open to you. Would you stand if you need to pray? I'd invite you to come this morning. Let the Lord work in your life. I've tried to be faithful to what God has put on my heart to preach to you this morning. I've tried to forget about the clock. Tried to forget about what I'm doing and where I am and just try to preach to you. And I want you to get help today. I want you to leave better and stronger and with a greater sense of purpose in your life than what you came with. But it's up to you now what you'll do with the message. It's yours. And I'd invite you to act upon it. Say when you're ready. If you need to pray, would you come? How amiable are thy tabernacles? Come against the Israelites. And they lost in the battle. but they'd fought on the hilltops. They said, next time we're going to attack them while they're in the valley. Because their God is the God of the hills, but He's not the God of the valley. The man of God come to the king and he said, this is what's going to happen. They said, I've gotten the word from the Lord. And the Lord said, because they have said that your God's the God of the hills and not of the valley, said, I surely will be with you. And said, I'll show them that I'm both God of the hill and I'm God of the valley. While the earth may be depressed between two mountains, did you know heaven don't change its elevation one little bit? It stays constant all the way across. Oh, yes. Well, I can't share all that. I'm glad you're here this morning at the house of the Lord. I appreciate you coming. We'll have a Christmas play and the bell choir singing.